Hi, this is Allison McLean Merrill. Let's go back to the best.
Hey, Grace.
Yeah, David.
Do you want to go back?
Back where?
Back to the best.
Back to the best?
Back to the best. Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of Back to the Best. I'm David. And look, this is normally the part where Grace would be like, and I'm Grace, and then we have a little back and forth about the 90s and the 2000s, the best times. Welcome if it's your first time. Welcome back if it's not your first time. Nobody fear. I know you're all super worried. You're like, what's going on? Grace is here today for our interview. She unfortunately could not make it for the intro and outro this week. She's a mom. And from what I'm told, babies apparently take up your time. I don't know. All I know is it was one of the cutest babies I've ever seen. So it is worth however much time she needs to go to, you know, raise a child. We are so excited about today's episode, though. We had one of our friends on this week, Allison McLean Merrill. She is a Disney Channel historian and also a freelance journalist. Allison is the first person, the first journalist that has ever reached out to us to let us know that she put us in an article. If you remember from a while ago, this probably would have been, maybe 2-3 years ago, if I'm remembering right. We were in a Screen Rant article with some other nostalgic podcasts, and Allison is the one who put us in there. She has written some incredible pieces about nostalgia, about this time period, the 90s and the 2000s. She loves Disney Channel just as much as us, if not more. She's gotten to talk to some really cool people throughout her work. We just wanted to get right into this episode. So without further ado, here she is, Allison McLean Merrill.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Allison, I love, do you have a Halloween themed shirt or is it just orange?
I have a Halloween Town shirt on that my mom got me a couple years ago. It just says, take me to Halloween Town. And it's somebody's interpretation of the town. So,
oh my God, I love it. Good one, Mom.
I wear it like over and over again every year. I know, she did a good job. It is cute. She finds me cute Disney shirts from time to time. So.
God, love her.
Grace. Oh my gosh. Congratulations. You're a mom. I've been so excited for you.
How thank you. It's great. She is, she's just the best ever. She's almost 7 months. Gosh, she's almost 7 months now.
It's crazy.
I know. Yeah. It's crazy. It's crazy, but it's also not that you want the time to go by, but it's the best, like, because the older they get, the more they become people rather than just like little newborns that are just still figuring everything out. She just has so much more of a personality now, and you can kind of do more things with them, like you can get out of the house more, but it's just the best thing ever. It's like my husband and I always joke, we still don't know what we're doing, but she's healthy, she's happy. So I think we're doing something right.
All that you could ask for. She's so beautiful.
She's so cute.
Oh, thank you.
Well, yeah, I'm so excited for you just to like see her, you know, grow into like who she is more. And I don't know, I always imagine it's got to be fun once they start saying actual words. And
yeah,
fun journey.
Yeah, she's not saying words. She definitely does. She makes a bunch of sounds. Like she baby babbles all day, which is just so funny. But I know, we'll have to see what the first word is. It's probably going to be like Disney or
Halloween like Town.
Halloween Town. The longest word, Halloween Town.
Calabar's Revenge.
I mean, I wouldn't blame her. This, like David and I would, we used to say, you know, she knew our voices long before. She's been a BTTB fan for a while because she's heard us on a lot of episodes recording. Goodness. So
her lullaby, naturally.
Yeah.
She couldn't sleep and she only sleeps listening to Back to the Best.
Instead of like a rain sound machine, we just play, Tim and I just like play our podcast.
Hello.
Don't tempt me with a good time. But no, thank you for asking. She's the best. Okay. It's so fun.
But can we talk about how you have been just absolutely killing it recently, Allison?
Thank you. I am trying. It's definitely a process. Like there's some quieter periods and times of just like thinking and trying to generate ideas. But I've been so fortunate to get to write so much about Disney Channel lately. It makes me so happy. And I'm very, very blessed to be in that position, like commemorating anniversaries of some of these movies and stuff. It's a lot of fun.
Now, we will just say, we have talked about Allison before, but if you're someone who's tuning in and does not listen to that or doesn't know about Allison, can you give the listeners just a little bit about yourself? Don't
of
have to
course. Yes.
Just anything that you want to share, just share about you.
Oh boy. I have to censor
very
myself.
Loaded no question, right?
Start from the beginning. You were born.
It is Allison McLean Merrill. I am 29, so I'm getting closer to the 30s now. I'm a young millennial, and I'm a freelance journalist, so I love writing about all things pop culture. I'm a Disney Channel historian, so I like to go back in time and talk to the people who made some of our favorite DCOMs, like Halloween Town or The Cheetah Girls or the long-lost Disney Channel film Tiger Town from 1983. Very interested in that stuff and faith and culture. So yeah, I'm a writer reporter based in the Detroit area and got to know David and Grace kind of through pop culture, through quarantine and COVID. And I'm just so excited to be here with you guys today.
I know. I remember when you emailed us, Alice and Dave, and I were like, oh my God, who is this? Yeah. Like somebody found us. This is so cool.
I'm some little nobody in like a corner in Connecticut.
You were the first person to ever put us on any kind of list. It meant so much to us.
I just remember like getting to know you guys, getting to know Wit from Duff Enough and realizing like, oh my gosh, I can have like friends on the internet who like the same thing I do. I didn't grow up really like talking to people in chat rooms and stuff so much. So it was kind of not until adulthood that I found like this incredible nostalgia community. And so, yes, I had to like to write about all of you, which I loved doing. And then we all like got to connect and share our love for some of the same things that we grew up with, which is so awesome.
It's such a fun community of people who are like into nostalgia, like you were saying, Wit. I feel like there's so many podcasts that like we all that I feel like I know everybody, even though we've never met in person.
Yes, Wit is the first one that I have met in person. We went to 90s con together and did some
that looked so fun.
It was really fun. It was kind of overwhelming because that was my first convention and like my first time meeting some of these celebrities. But I did an actual TV appearance on his daytime show in Tampa. That was my first like on-air interview that I had done. So I was very nervous, but I was just talking about like pop culture locations, just like you guys do. We all have that in common. It's just, there's no greater thrill than showing up at a private citizen's house that you've watched on TV.
It's so true.
You feel like you're like, oh, this is normal. I can go take a photo in front of this person's house. Like you just don't even, David and I have gone to so many places where we like sit out front and we're like, oh, wait, hold on a minute. There's somebody walking by. Yeah. There's somebody coming. And you have to wait for the right moment because you don't want to be that intrusive, but you also really want the picture.
And what's funny is one thing we had in common between like our two separate trips is the Lizzie McGuire house. I remember you guys had kind of like there was like a car there or something and you sort of had to like wait around a little bit.
Yeah.
And I remember getting like weird looks when I walked around that neighborhood. I don't know, maybe like a year later. So I do always try to be respectful and think like, okay, if this was my home, you know, I would want people to keep their distance, but also like, you know, you could take your little picture and it might be like one time to see this place. So I enjoy that. But like, it's cool when it works out that it's actually like a public place, like the Doubtfire restaurant. That was super cool to get to go there. And
yeah,
some of the other Princess Diaries places that you guys have been to in the Bay Area, like the arcade. Did you go down there?
On the pier? They still have the arm wrestling thing. But Allison, back to 90s con, who were some people that you got to meet?
Okay, so I sort of had a split experience of being just a fan and then doing this whole like red carpet thing, helping Wit out and like taking some pictures for media for his outlet and stuff and asking some of my own questions, which was very cool. So Friday was like my fan day. the first person me and my mom met because she took me to 90s Con. It was the sweetest thing.
Your mom.
That's so cute.
It was so cute. She lives in Northeast Florida. And of course, 90s Con was in Tampa. So we drove down together. And the first person we met was Caroline Ray. She was so sweet. She took our selfie for us. And then Nate Richard, who played Harvey, like photobombed one of our selfies, which was so, so fun.
The best.
Then we talked to Danica McKellar. Oh my gosh. Miss Bartlett from Gotta Kick It Up, Susan Egan.
Oh yeah.
So
I remember, yeah.
She like said si se puede to us. It was amazing. Whit was very into seeing like all of the Disney princesses, Disney animation people. We saw Jim Cummings, our generation's voice of Winnie the Pooh. Mm-hmm. And then like a ton of the TGIF people. We went up and spoke with Jo Marie Payton, who's also Sugar Mama from Proud Family, and Kelly Williams, who was on Family Matters as well. Trina McGee from Boy Meets World. We said hi to Ryder Strong. And then Melissa Joan Hart and Kimberly J. Brown, I both had sign a wooden pumpkin for me.
Oh, so, I love that.
So, two witches. So it was so fun. And then on the red carpet, we talked to Kimberly. I got to interview Matthew Lawrence, which was just, it was so crazy, like having him right in front of me like that. And yeah, I was just like taking pictures of everybody. We had Howie from the Backstreet Boys came through. Okay. AJ didn't do too much of the press line, but like he was very close and they were like playing around with like the slap bracelets the guy from E! News gave them and stuff. So quite an experience, and everyone was very nice. We had a lot of fun.
Oh my God. What a lineup. That just sounds amazing. Yeah, right? They had great people.
Yeah. And the weird thing was, of course, because of the SAG after strike, they couldn't really talk much about their shows in normal terms in the panels, so we learned things like how they like to do their grocery shopping or what other projects they might be working on. So it was kind of an interesting time in that respect, but I would love to go to more conventions and just do more in-person events. Like, we should all go to the Halloween Town Festival next year.
We're dying to.
Yeah.
It was so fun. And David, you have been to the town before, right?
I was there a few months ago. So I was like in Portland and then we went to Astoria and I was just like, all right, I have to rent a car and go see Halloween Town. And so we went there. Oh, that town, that is one where that entire town is very proud of the fact that Halloween Town and Twilight both filmed there. Like, there was one store open on their little main street. And so we went in, and clearly must be like 90% of the people that go into the store are tourists because they just called it out right away. So they offered us a map. It had every filming location. We drove up like to look at Bella's house from Twilight. The owner was there. She was telling us all about how like she was a huge Twilight fan and would come and like take pictures of this house like every year after they filmed Twilight. It went up for sale. So she bought it, turned it into an Airbnb. Like, everyone in this town is
amazing.
Very proud of what filmed there.
That sounds kind of like when you go to the town Stars Hollow was based on, even though it's a different experience because it wasn't actually filmed there. But when I lived in Connecticut, we would go there. It was Washington and Washington Depot, and they had like a little diagram of like what the things were supposed to be similar to from the show. So we would like go in the bookstore and a couple of the little like coffee places that were supposed to be like kind of like Luke's, and it turned into like us just loving going to that town, especially in the fall. It was so beautiful there. So you guys are making me want to just like rent us a car, road trip all of the places.
Well, that, I feel like that's such a cool experience as well when it's an actual town, like you guys are both talking about. Like, you know, you can, Stars Hollow, obviously, like we know, it was at Warner Brothers. Yeah. So even when, you know, when David and I would take people there, it was like they would walk into what was Luke's and nothing was in it. So when there's actually a town and you can really get a feel for it and go in a shop and maybe have a cup of coffee, that just really makes you feel like you're there, which is the coolest thing about finding locations.
Absolutely. There's so many great ones that I would love to visit. But even though you guys were not my tour guides because it was after your time, sadly, I did still have like the time of my life the day that I did the Warner Brothers tour, just because you see so many different things, like all in one place with all of those sets from Gilmore Girls to Full House and Friends, and they have like all the Harry Potter stuff in the like museum exhibit area. It was such an unforgettable experience doing that a couple years ago.
Yeah, it's they do a great job.
They do.
Oh
It's
yeah. They
I
really, yeah.
definitely think it's the best tour of like any of the studios out
Oh
here.
yeah. Most
Yeah.
immersive, yeah.
Did you do the Universal one when you were
Yeah.
here too?
I did not. The Warner Brothers one is the only one that I've done. It's like my dream to get to go to the Disney Studios someday. I know that's like a little bit harder to do, but maybe one of these days. Paramount sometime, that would be really cool. I think that one like eventually opened up. It was closed for a while. But you guys have probably done like all of them, right?
I've done
I've
Universal,
done.
Paramount. Whenever I think it would have been like probably like 2015, one of my friends was training to be a Paramount tour guide, and part of their training
Cool.
program was they would let them just bring friends in to give practice tours for. I don't know if it's still like
Oh,
that or not, but so
interesting.
I got to go do one of like her practice tours whenever she was still in training.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did the Paramount tour years ago on a trip. I remember my dad and I got lost. We like, I don't know how it happened. I don't remember,
On the
but I know
lot.
we got lost. Yes, because it was like our tour guide was an older woman, and I remember we were walking through it. And we stopped to look at like something in one of the, like didn't go in, just were looking in the door, and they must have turned a corner or something, and we couldn't find
Just
them. They found
gone
us
by.
eventually. Gone by. So yeah, and then I have been on the Disney lot. My husband and I were there. He had a teacher that he used to the an old teacher, a former teacher, and she was out here with her class on an experience they were doing. And she contacted him and was like, we have, you know, an opportunity to go on the Disney lot. I'd love to see you. And so he went, and then I joined as well. So it was really cool because, like you said, Allison, it's not like an open tour. I think you really have to have something set up or but yeah, it was a cool experience. Really cool stuff. Like they have a bunch of like really cool like plaques in this one area on the ground to take photos with. And just walking through the hallways, there's just animation
That's
everywhere.
so
It's
cool.
like, what am I looking at? Yeah, it was really cool.
I am going to go to the Disney 100 exhibit when it comes to Chicago because I'm in the Detroit area, so it's not too far from me.
Oh yeah.
I'm going to go after Thanksgiving, and I'm already plotting, like, is this going to be the time that I finally just take a little drive by the Home Alone house? I really hope so. That's on my
Yes,
list.
do it. Oh my God, I've
You
done, that's
have
another
to.
one. It's on my list. I've got to see that one day. I've heard that the current owners are much, there was apparently like people that lived there at one point that didn't like people taking photos, but I've heard that the current owners do, and they like kind of decorate it with the theme of from Home Alone around like Christmas time and stuff. That's what I've heard. So hopefully it's still like that.
Yeah, and we actually have a connection because my husband's a church musician. So we know someone who works at one of the two churches because they used one for the interior and one for the exterior in the first
Okay.
movie. So, you know, I'm gonna
You gotta
plan it
use that
all
then.
out.
Yeah, you're
Oh my
there.
God,
Try to
yeah.
make it happen. Yeah, I love Chicago. It's a fun city. We don't go enough, but I enjoy being there.
I know we're just gonna miss each other because I'm gonna be there the weekend of November 10th. And I saw you post on
Oh.
Instagram that you were going to the Disney 100, and I was like, oh my God, I have to go to that. And it opens up like 4 days
Oh.
after I leave.
Oh, that's so sad.
I'll live through
Oh.
your Instagram.
I was gonna say, yeah, we'll live through you.
Speaking of Instagram, so you started your Instagram Past Foot Forward. Can you tell everybody about that?
Yes. So about 3 years ago, when I was really like just getting started writing online about pop culture, I started an Instagram and I started a blog, and it was called Past Foot Forward. And that's what I'm still called
A
on
fantastic
Instagram. It's
name.
a great name. Yeah.
Thank you. And yeah, I started off just slowly writing, blogging about all of these shows and movies that mean so much to me. And it kind of has evolved into like my journalism Instagram slash sort of like an archival Instagram where I'll sometimes post old commercials, or I'll like bring my things from TikTok over there and vice versa. So it's really exciting just to see over time how my interests in all of this have grown and how I've been able to meet so many wonderful people like you. But yeah, I try to stay active on there because it honestly, it just makes me happier when I get to talk to people about the things that I'm writing about or that you're podcasting about. And I don't know, it's just, it's a tough world. So when we can all connect and lift each other up and, you know, make this like a little happy place to go, it, I think that it helps us a lot, I would say.
Yeah. Like David and I, you know, especially when I was like on my leave, there were so many times that we were like, we really miss this. Like you just miss talking about this stuff. And I mean, heck, what, our first like 100 episodes, David, they were just you and I mostly. And we lived our best life though. Like we didn't have any guests and we were so small. So we're not huge, but you know what I mean? We just didn't have anybody but each other.
You guys are huge. You've been like picked up by the news for your legendary reunions. I mean, Heather and Heidi from Double Team, come on.
We want to do so many more reunions. Oh, I know.
It's so good. Just to hear them like, hey, Poppy. Hey, Annie. Say hi.
Oh, and then there's me and David like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Just on the side.
What are we witnessing right now? Yeah.
What are we watching happening? I mean, you know, Allison, you just always immediately think my younger self. I mean, I'm freaking out now, but my younger self would not even know how to comprehend this.
Yes, I agree with that. I think that if you like looked back 20 years and told like little you, oh, you're going to get to talk to this person someday and like ask them questions. Yeah, it's crazy. I don't even know what I would have thought.
I feel like so many of your articles, you have to have that. I feel like the one that I read where I was just like, I know we would have been freaking out about it, was when you got to talk to all of the Disney Channel stars about the Disney Channel games.
Oh my, yes. Oh,
that was such a big project because really what happened was, there was a period of time where I was editing primarily for a media company, and I decided to kind of close that chapter to fully pursue freelance writing. And that was maybe like the second piece I got commissioned to do after doing that, like after making that change and switching from editing to mostly writing. And so the editors I worked with were like, okay, we'll help you get started and help you like with, you know, keeping track of contacts you're reaching out to and stuff. And I will always remember like emailing all of these agents and everything, which is, you know, as you guys know, what you have to do. And just like, oh, I hope that if they say yes, I hope I'll get to talk to so-and-so. Corbin Blue, one of the nicest people I have ever met.
God.
He was so sweet.
Oh my gosh. We'd love to hear that.
Yeah. And I was like, hey, you know, it's going to be the 20th anniversary of Catch That Kid in 2024.
Catch That Kid.
And it was so cool because he had just moved and he was like, yeah, actually, I think I have some of that stuff in storage. I was like, oh my gosh, that's so cool.
Get it out.
Yeah. Let's see it.
He was awesome. Raven was incredible. That was just this crazy thing that I had the opportunity to connect with her publicist and speak with her for our Vanity Fair interview and then for the Cheetah Girls story, which Sabrina Bryan was also part of. So I was, I had to get ready for those pretty, well, Raven's especially pretty quickly because the strike was already in talks and it hadn't started yet. But
yeah.
But, she was so cool and just so kind. You know, she gets asked about these Disney Channel things all the time. So I was really glad that she was able to share her experience. She and her wife have this podcast that's so fun and like so different. I don't know if you guys have listened to it yet, but they like spin a wheel to set to find their like word for the day. And then they all have to talk about that topic. So it was very cool.
Oh, that's fun.
Ooh. That's a really cool idea. Yeah, there's also just, gosh, there's so many podcasts today that it's cool to hear a different take, like a different idea as to kind of how you get your topic for each episode.
Yeah, that's something I'm curious to hear y'all's thoughts on with so many celebrity rewatch podcasts. Do you try to listen to all of these? Do you have favorites?
I mean, I feel like when a new one comes out, we will mention it too, especially, you know, if it's a rewatch of a show that we loved or something nostalgic. But I don't know. It is, I don't mean this to sound like we were the first ones to do it. I don't mean it that way. But when we started, there was not nearly this many, like, especially all these rewatch ones. So then when they all started coming out, I felt like I couldn't keep up. I was like, well, wait, I want to listen to this one, but now so-and-so is having a rewatch. They just like all at once, they all started happening.
Yeah. There's like two performances and there's a Christmas. Yeah. Then there's has so many that she's involved in now. So
I can't keep up.
Yeah. I think my favorites right now, at least, are for the Full House one. I have not listened to Dave Coulier's yet, but I love Jodi Sweetin and Andrea Barber's, their rewatch one. And then Smallville is probably one of my favorite shows. So I really like Talkville. And then the Boy Meets World one are probably my three favorites, which you went and met them at their podcast live taping, right?
Yeah, it was honestly, it was just a summer of nostalgia, I guess, because I got really lucky. They were coming to the Detroit area on my birthday. And I thought, you know, I never swing for the VIP stuff, but I'm going to do it this time. And I'm going to go and meet them. And it's going to be so much fun. And it was really great. They were very kind. The show was just so funny and heartwarming. And Danielle started talking about people asking them if they had a blooper reel. And she was like, well, privately, we have a blooper reel. And so they showed their bloopers to us. They showed
the guys.
Their dance beforehand that they talk about on the show sometimes. So that was really fun. I decided not to like go for the whole costume contest thing because it was just kind of fun to watch. But every show they like have people come up who have dressed up like different characters and they'll choose winners and stuff. It's a lot of fun. I think they're coming to LA next month, I believe.
They are, and they announced that the guest is Mr. Feeny, and I feel like I have to go.
Oh my god.
That would be so.
When is it? Let me look it up right now.
I think it's I know it's a Friday in November. I just don't know which Friday.
Oh my gosh, how cool would that be? Yeah, I years ago saw a taping of Girl Meets World and just so happened that Ryder Strong was directing it, and it was just so, even just being in the same airspace, I was like, this is the best day of my life.
Did you guys get to talk to them a little bit after the taping?
We did. They stayed by the railing, you know, where it kind of drops down underneath the seats. So they were standing there as people were leaving, and you know, we didn't have our phones, of course, in there or anything. So, but it was that I didn't even get bothered by that because it was just so nice of them to wait around. Because there was like these few young kids in the front that were just really cute. So they came up and then everyone else was like, can we just say hi?
We're here
too. They were really, really nice. Yeah. It's like, I just want to say hi. Just even look in my direction and I'll be good. That's all I need.
So sweet. Yeah. Yeah. My second time in LA, I went to a taping of the Night Court reboot. And I really had like no connection to that show or anything. It's just like that was available and I had never been to a taping before. And ever since going to that, I think about it sometimes, just how cool it is to get to see everything in action and learn more about how all the different cameras work and where everything is placed. And I don't know, just to see how all the magic is made. Like, I love that. I want to be back on sets and I don't know how I'm going to make that happen, but it was so cool.
It is such a cool process.
So I have a question for y'all about current events here.
I knew you were going to grab that.
Allison, we were talking about it before you got on. It was, yes. Okay, yes. I was already picking David's brain. Yeah, go ahead.
I would say I'm like two-thirds of the way done. Oh, if you're just listening to this, she held up the Britney Spears Woman in Me book.
I'm on like page 165, so I'm okay. About a little over. I've got to finish it. Gotta like just
I know, I'm probably going to finish through. It tonight, yeah.
Well, what do you think so far?
It's one of those that, like, the whole thing I find fascinating, also heartbreaking, also just, like, finally to hear, because have you gotten through, like the VMA performance in 2007 and things like that yet? Like, to hear now her side of that and, like, what was happening backstage and what she was thinking before she went on, what she was thinking while she was on stage, like, stuff that she's never been able to talk about in an interview, I just find fascinating.
Yeah, and her being able to go just a little bit deeper into her family troubles and just how far back that saga goes. Her
grandparents and everything, yeah.
Exactly, like, what her dad's background was. Stuff with her siblings and just like the environment that all of them came out of. It really explains a lot, I think. I'm really glad that she did this. And I don't know, it is kind of a totally different situation because she just doesn't do any other press. And so it's like, this is finally our chance to hear her story, like, in her own words or in her own voice, at least. So it's just, One thing I was thinking about, and you guys tell me what you think. I think we need to have a millennial Britney book club, because how many other memoirs are we just all going to be, like, reading and talking about and thinking about, like, with this person who's impacted us all in some way, at least, mm-hmm. you know, just seeing her post about, and, like, we need to have, like, a giant, like, Zoom call. One and go through, like, this book and what it meant to us and stuff. Just something I was thinking about.
I would love that. I've also just never been in a book club, so I'd just be thrilled to be included.
I have not either, but my sister reads, like, all of the latest fiction books, and, like, if it's on somebody's lists, like Oprah's or Reese's or whatever, like, she's read it and she knows about it. And I'm not up on, like, the fiction titles like that, but when I think about the memoirs that are out right now, I'm like, okay, this is really special. This doesn't come around every day. So we'll figure it out. We'll figure out.
Yeah, we have to.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you said it exactly like I was saying to David. I've seen so many people I follow post about this book, and even just how they've been running from bookstore to bookstore to find a copy. It really is people that are interested in it, at least. A moment, like, everybody is wanting to read this book and wanting to hear from her, from Britney herself, pretty much. It's kind of the closest we're gonna get, because she doesn't do much other press, like you mentioned.
Absolutely. And how crazy that it came out the same day as John Stamos's memoir.
I saw you post that you read both. I have not read John Stamos's yet. Have you read it yet?
Yeah, I was able to get that one beforehand, before a publication date. And one thing that I would really like to write about, in case any editors maybe are listening, is how strange it can be to look at a fully dimensional adult through an adult's eyes now, rather than being a child and only knowing this person as Uncle Jesse.
Yeah.
Like, seeing everything else that was going on behind the scenes, it's like, oh, I'm reading about your sex life while you're on this show that I was watching, like, my entire childhood. It's a strange thing to process, but I think he did a good job. I learned a lot about him. I was definitely looking for, like, details about Full House, and some of them he'd heard before, but, like, he talked a lot more about, like, Lori Loughlin and their relationship from the show to the college admissions scandal. And so I was at Yale while the college admissions scandal was going on. So I remember, at the gym there and seeing it on the news. And then, like, during spring break, my last semester there, kind of seeing everything unfolding. So to hear kind of, like, his reaction to it and actually talking to Lori, like, while that was going on, was really an interesting, like, layer to add to it.
It has to humanize it versus, like, you just see the headlines, than to hear someone who actually knows her. Because has she talked about it?
Kind of laid low. I don't really think she's done, like, a big interview speaking about it, you know? Like, Olivia Jade did the table talk, but...
Oh, that's right.
I don't think... I don't think Lori's really done like anything quite like that.
I don't blame her. I wouldn't want to.
No. Well, that's actually very interesting. That would, like, I would be interested in reading that too. Cause like you said, stories like that, you just see headline after headline. This person thinks, has this opinion, has that one, but he obviously knows her very well. And knowing who she is really deep down as a person, I think is also an interesting perspective. Not like, oh, I'm a fan of the show. They were very close. He really knows who she is deep down. And maybe that could shed light on what kind of his take on all of that, knowing her really well.
And it's really sweet the way that he writes about Bob Saget. Also, we were all so crushed when he died. It's still now Suzanne Summers has died. Like all of
I know,
like 90s parents.
I know, like, died. Make it stop.
It's very make it stop. I know. I have a moment of silence for him. Really though, we'll do it.
Oh, I know you will. I remember.
We don't get us started on a moment of silence.
Lizzie McGuire. Yep.
One of our proudest. It took us so many takes.
Oh, and Jake so Thomas many takes.
Noticed, right?
Jake Thomas and Hallie Todd
and
Lalaine.
Yeah, Lalaine commented.
Really,
I think some
really
like
a highlight.
Coffins, like she was dead. Yeah. Oh, it was a big highlight. And I'm sorry, we worked incredibly hard for that 10 minutes. We had to sit there, which is not easy for David and I to sit there quietly for 10 minutes.
Do you know the musical piece by John Cage? I think it's just called 4:33, and it's just like 4.5 minutes of silence. That's,
no.
That's the piece.
No, but it sounds right up our street.
That's you guys.
I think that's, should we like it copyright?
Did we steal his copyright?
Did we steal his idea? Sorry.
According to Wikipedia, conceived around 1947 to 1948.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We copied him.
Yeah, mm-hmm. There's no so denying that he had the idea first. Okay, that's fine. Mm-hmm. Everything's fine. Mm-hmm.
It's
moving
fine.
On.
We can't take it back. It was a big thing. We dressed in all black. We went. We committed to it, and we can't take it back.
Because ours.
Ours.
Okay, Allison, since this week is Halloween, I know that you're big on ranking. I don't know if you rank them or just discuss like all the Halloween DCOMs, different like nostalgic Halloween movies. Do you have a favorite nostalgic Halloween movie?
This is so hard. And I feel like I change it every year. It is definitely the Halloween Town franchise, but I go back and forth between the first one and the second one as to which one like is favorite ever. And at this point, I think they're just a tie because the first one introduces you to this wonderful world and all of the characters and Marnie discovering her magic. But then the second one, I don't know, she's a little older and she and Cal, as we know now from life, are just the perfect match, have so much chemistry. And this sounds so silly, but in the scene with all of like the sock sorting with Gort and everything, just this beautiful window in there. And I'm so drawn to this window. It just makes the whole movie for me. So I would say it's a tie between the first two Halloween Towns. Outside of that, I never really watched like a ton of gory, scary movies growing up. So I'm much more drawn to kind of like the lighthearted, fun ones. And other Disney Channel ones. I still really like Twitches.
So good.
I think
love
that like the darkness has like the perfect spooky element. Tia and Tamara Mari are perfect in it. But also Allie and AJ singing Rush, like hearing it in the context of that film.
Yeah.
There's just something that comes over me and I'm like transported back to 2005 and it just feels so good.
So I just saw Allie and AJ for the first time in concert and they sang that song and just everything about it was perfect.
Gosh. Okay. Did they do a lot of their older stuff or was it mostly the new albums?
They did more of their older stuff than I thought they would do. Like they did, of course, potential breakup song. I feel like they can't do a concert and they have to do that at every show. Yeah, they did Rush. I'm
did
blanking
they
on the
Chemicals
name of it.
React?
They didn't do that, which I was a little disappointed at. What's the one that they did from Cowbells? Like their sister song.
Oh, On the Ride.
On the Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did that. It
Life
was
is
a great.
amazing when.
Yes. It was so good. But back to your answers. So first of all, I want to say that I think that it's fine that you do Halloween Town 1 and 2 together because they were released on the same DVD. So it's basically one movie.
It's one movie.
And two, what were your thoughts whenever they switched out Kimberly J. Brown in the fourth Halloween Town?
I remember being a kid and noticing, like, I wasn't stupid. It wasn't.
Imagine, bless your heart, and that, someone's just like, no, it's the same girl. It's Marnie. It's still Marnie.
Right? Like, there was, you know, there had to have been some type of like, wait, where is she? What's going on here?
Yeah.
I love Sarah Paxton. Aquamarine.
Love it.
So good.
Love Aquamarine. So good.
Her role in the election episode, Lizzie McGuire, great. Her role in Hounded, where she portrays a person in a wheelchair, questionable. But I really love her. She's a great actress. It should have been Kimberly J. Brown.
Yeah.
And Sophie should have been in it. And Debbie Reynolds was still alive. There should have been more of her. And maybe there would have been if it had been the full cast and everything had been like the right recipe. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, we totally get it.
I do just like act the exact like it same just, way. It, for me, it just it ended exist. At Halloween Town High. It never happened in my head.
It really did. It is. It feels like a whole different movie, a whole different, not even connected to the franchise.
Yeah, it's like, let's just say it's like Marnie's cousin or something. Why did we have to say that it's Marnie?
Why did it have to be Marnie?
Yeah, and it's not even that it's a bad story. I think that if we had all of the players that we wanted and everything, it would have been received. But just like the Sinister Sisters and stuff, fine. Do something with Calabar. Like, bring this back around, you know? We gotta, like, tie up loose ends. Like, where is he? What happened, you know?
Yeah.
I know. Just... I know. It really doesn't feel the same. But to tie it back to the one we love, the original Halloween Town, just to bring it back there, I did want to mention, because I saw it, that Allison wrote a really, really great article about Halloween Town and the magic behind 25 years and kind of why people still love it and why it is still something that hangs around. Like, I've even seen a lot of people post Instagram videos and they use the Halloween Town music behind it because it is so nostalgic and upbeat and happy. And I just wanted to share that you wrote that article, Allison, because I thought it was just wonderful because it's so true. We all still love it.
Grace, that was a really great opportunity to talk to some of the people who made the film. Dwayne Dunham is such a cool guy because he directed a bunch of DCOMs. This one, Halloween Town, Double Teamed, Now You See It, Tiger Crew. Yeah, he has a great DCOM resume.
Yeah,
but yeah, he also worked on Twin Peaks and some of the Star Wars movies and Raiders of the Lost Ark. And he told me like that he, you know, still gets asked about Halloween Town and he had to like make a highlight reel for, you know, like an achievement thing. And like Halloween Town was in there with all the other stuff. So
as it should
yeah, I
be.
Talked to,
yeah.
Right. That the writers also still feel that like people from our age group resonate, that it resonates with them. And I'm so curious to talk to you two about this specifically. Towards the end of the piece, I was kind of tying it to like the way we conceptualize fall and autumnal aesthetics and how like the internet has kind of taken that and run with it. Do you think that growing up in the time we did, sort of a combination of, you know, walking around with our parents in stores and like seeing all the decorations and then seeing these networks on TV kind of curating more and more and more seasonal theming, that kind of contributed to our sensibilities for like going all in when these seasons and holidays roll around?
Oh my gosh.
God, yeah.
Really, really good question. And I definitely think so. I mean, it is like booming. Any store you go to, it is head to toe, and they start early, and then I'm a sucker for all of it. I take all of it and just decorate my whole home with everything.
I was gonna say, and there's also just like the shows that as soon as like it hits like 60, 70 degrees out, I'm like, okay, it's Gilmore Girls season. Let's play it.
It's a fall show. Yeah.
Yeah, Gilmore Girls is a big one. Nora Ephron season or Meg Ryan Fall. That's another one. I love all of those movies. And speaking of Meg Ryan, are y'all going to see her new rom-com in November?
I don't
Wait, which one is
know
it?
if I know what
I
it
don't think I've.
is.
She's doing a new rom-com. It's called What Happens Later. And she's snowed in an airport.
Oh, I'm into it.
Okay. Is it in theaters?
I think it's going to be in theaters. They moved it because of the Taylor Swift Eras Tour film. It was supposed to come out the same.
Love that and The
Stop.
Exorcist both immediately were like, we cannot compete.
They
Oh,
just moved it
yeah.
to November. Yeah.
Yeah, I just looked it up. Oh, yeah.
Well,
Ooh,
I
two
mean,
ex-lovers.
I'll probably see it. Who am I kidding?
I love a Snowden. That sounds, I love a Snowden. You had me at Snowden. I'm already feel cozy. I want to watch it.
Yeah, we need something like this, I think.
Yeah,
Yes. Oh, yeah.
definitely.
Just like a classic rom-com that just makes you feel good, makes you feel warm inside, isn't too heavy, doesn't make you think too much. We need those.
Yeah, we really grew up in the golden era of rom-coms, also.
Oh, we did. And they don't make them like they used to.
Oh, maybe this
Add
one.
it to the list.
They really don't. I mean, like all of the ones that we had, like Legally Blonde, I still count Mean Girls even kind of like a rom-com. There's some romance in there. But just all of those that we had were the best.
And the fact that they actually made like teen rom-coms for us, like a Cinderella Story, and I loved Sleepover with Alexa
I
Vega.
love
So
good.
Sleepover. Like both of those movies are going to turn 20 next year, which is so weird to think.
Yeah, and there's totally a reason that these things are either still popular or there's a new audience finding them because they're good. They really are good and they make you feel happy and feel good. And like we said, we got lucky within that sense. We really grew up at a great time for TV and film, but I love that it all had a bit of a resurgence and we can still access that stuff. You know, it's like right on Disney Plus now. You can find a lot of it.
I don't know if you keep everything like to yourself until you put anything out. Are you working on anything that you can tell us about? Or if you like to keep that to yourself until you put out an article, that's totally fine too.
Which is okay if so, yeah.
To be perfectly honest, after a busy summer and a pretty good start to fall, I am entering a quiet period where I am very much pitching and looking for my next big project. So I'm not really working on any like firm plans right now, but very much like generating ideas, spending time reading, looking on TikTok. And I will tell you privately about my like dream project to work on next. If anyone is listening, I'll just say it is in the realm of faith and culture, but always, always looking for my next fun, like pop culture thing as well. So those are kind of like places that my mind is sitting in right now.
And I feel like that's the beauty of being freelance. Like you kind of get to explore whatever you're passionate about or whatever you want to do.
Yeah, absolutely. That's one thing that I really like about it. It can definitely have its ups and downs and be a little bit unpredictable. But having the freedom to be creative and to stretch myself and challenge myself and kind of like think outside the box has been really fun.
Oh, I
So I'm
bet.
excited to keep trying anyway.
Well, it also really comes across, Allison, like in everything that you write or everything that you do, it really comes across just how much it means to you and how much you love it. I really mean that on your, even just your Instagram, the amount of time and research that you put into the content that you put out, or if you're like writing something for a blog or anything, an article, anything. You can really feel that as someone viewing it, that you love it. Like, I love that you're a historian because you really are. Like, you take the time to look into it and, you know, learn about it, educate yourself. And that just comes off of the screen or it comes off of the page. And, you know, we're biased because we're friends with you, but it comes from you too. Like, you're here in a Halloween Town shirt. Like,
Oh my God,
we just get
yeah.
that vibe from you the whole time. So it's
Oh my.
a, I really mean that. It just comes right out from the vibe you give off.
That means so much to me, Grace. Thank you. That's really what I am after. I have a friend who I was kind of explaining to her some of the stuff I'm working on. She's like, okay, so you're also sort of looking at all of this through like a philosophical angle. And I was like, yeah, I guess I am, because I want to know, what does it mean to all of us? Why do we care so much? Like, Miley's used to be young single. People on TikTok reacting to it, pl like playing a tape of their life up to a certain point and saying like, oh, I'm not really in this phase anymore, but I'm not ashamed of it. You know, I'm in a different era of my life and I've learned so much and here's where I am. I'm like, ah, I want to know, you know, what people's minds, how all of us kind of in this like 20s into 30s demographic are processing like these changes and different phases of life together. And especially like you two, you know, having even different experiences than I do, and actually like living in the entertainment industry and seeing that whole other side of how this stuff is made. It's just this like incredible circle, I guess, of the creation of these things to consuming it, creating new things and understandings from it. It's just beautiful.
Oh,
What we're all part of.
I'm so glad we found each
I
other.
was gonna say you emailing us that day was the best thing.
It was the best. We felt it then and we feel it now.
And everything you
We
said
need to
there
make a
was just
documentary.
so well said.
You. It's like, I know you two very much have a sense of this, that when you're talking about a movie, a TV show, a song, it's not just that one piece of media. It's all the associations that you bring to it and where you were in that time in your life. And, you know, we're seeing that with Taylor Swift, and other journalists have written about this, how it's like capturing the eras of our own lives, like looking back on these albums. And it's the same with Disney Channel, with Full House, with it's like we live it every day, and I just like to like sit in it sometimes and appreciate it because it makes so much of who we are, you know?
Oh my gosh, yeah. We're brought up on these things. Yeah. It's so true.
Well, tell everybody where they can find you online, all the social media, your website.
Yes.
Yay. Well, I am at Past Foot Forward on Instagram and now TikTok. I knew. Don't judge me. I'm But I'm going for a blend of analysis videos of just sharing cool things that I have found. So it'll be a little bit of everything. Twitter is at A McLean Merrill, MCCLAINMERRILL. And I'm splitting my website stuff so that I have my pastfootforward.com blog. I'm eventually going to try to make that more of a true blog again. And now I have a little landing page that I can share on my Instagram that I'm building that just has articles that I've written
Oh,
that you can. So come find me on Instagram at Past Foot Forward is where I'm the busiest with all this stuff. And thank you guys so much again for having me. This was so fun.
thank
Oh
you.
my
This was
gosh.
so
Thank you
much
for coming
fun.
on. We could just go on for hours and hours.
This was just the best. I'm so excited that you asked
Oh.
me. This was so much fun. Thank you.
Oh, thank
Oh, thank
you.
you. Seriously, come on anytime. You can be our third host.
And keep us posted on the Britney Book Club.
I think I'm gonna make a little video just telling people like, hey, like this or comment about this. Maybe we can
Yeah.
do this in November, you
That'd be
know?
so
So
fun.
yeah. All right, you two. Well, I will talk to you soon
And
and I'll keep you posted on any new projects or weird ideas of things that we can do. And
yeah,
sounds
please
good.
do.
All right. Bye. Thank
Bye,
you.
Allison. Thank
Bye.
you. Another huge thank you to Allison for joining us this week. Like we mentioned in our interview, make sure to go follow her. She is on Instagram at PastFootForward. Go show her some love. She has some links there in her bio. While you're on Instagram, why don't you go ahead and give us a follow? We are on Instagram and Twitter at BTTP Podcast. We are on TikTok and Facebook at Back to the Best, YouTube.com/Back to the Best, and of course, our website, BTTPPodcast.com. Thank you all so much for listening. We will be back next week with another great guest. So tune in next time, where we will keep taking you back to the best.